This is an interview with Wynne Brown on Friday, the 4th of September, 1992, at Kyleakin, which is that Brook or Little London?
Brook Lane.
Brook Lane,
yes.
Right. Differentiates itself from Little London.
Oh, it does, yes. We called ourselves Brook for years, and then the council turned it into Brook Lane, so we have to be Brook Lane now. But, yes, that's right, Brook Lane. Little London's the other side of the arch, you see. So
right.
I'm in Brook Lane.
Well, now, that look seems to be all functioning okay. Mm-hmm. So well, it's your memories of Albury Church,
New Church. Over more than 60 years, I've got a lot of memories of the church. I was married at the church 58 years ago, and I've always belonged to the church. I have quite a lot of memories of the church and the people that were there. Sadly, a lot of them are no longer with us. And I think one of the services there, one of the things I remember was the Duke of Northumberland's memorial service in 1940. He was killed in May 1940, killed in action. And the Reverend Philip Gray was the rector then, and he took the service. There were a lot of people, of course, at the church, because there were a lot of estate workers in those days, and a lot of village people who'd known him, I expect, a long time. And one of the things I remember vividly about the service was the rector read an extract from one of his last letters to his mother, the Duchess of Northumberland, in which, it's a long time ago, but I think this was more or less the lines of it, that he was writing the letter in a woods, which had beech and silver birch and bluebells, and reminded him very much of Albury. I think we all felt very sad about that, of course, but it was nice to feel that he was remembering Albury, I suppose, in those days that he was living through at that time. But I remember that very vividly about that particular service. And
you mentioned your wedding. Do you remember that equally vividly in the church?
Yes, that was in June 1930. No, sorry, 34, of course, because it's 58 years ago. Yes, it was a very lovely day, I remember, sunny day. And I was very fortunate because the reception was held in the gardens of the old rectory because I worked there. And so I was married at the church, and we, as I say, there were a lot of people there, a lot of village people, a lot of people I knew, and a lot of my relations, of which I had a lot. It was a very happy, lovely day, I remember.
It's one of 13. You must have had a lot of relatives.
Well, a lot of nephews and nieces and a lot of in-laws. We got, you see, we were doubled over the years with marriages. Mm. And so there were a lot of, I think it was 18 nephews and nieces I had.
Gosh.
Which, well, that wasn't so many really, because some of the brothers and sisters didn't have children, but that was quite a few, I suppose. But yes, it was a lovely day, and I can remember people who were there, and there was Charlie King, whose father was the baker in the village. He was a great friend of my husband's, and Chris Nicholas, and they were from the Pratt Stores. A lot of local people, and as I say, sadly no longer with us, of course, a long time ago.
Sounds a lovely, happy occasion, and the sun shone on you.
Oh, wonderful. Mm. It was really wonderful, yes.
Do you remember other happy days at the church?
Well, yes, I can remember. I used to go to church. I go to Farley Green Church now because I'm taken there. But I used to go to Albury, the parish church, very regularly. Sunday mornings in sometimes, not a great deal, because it wasn't always easy to get to church Sunday mornings when I was working. But the congregations were pretty large then. And I remember when the people were in residence at the park, it seemed quite an occasion when they all came into church and sat in the front seat. Mm. It was really quite something.
This is when the Duchess...
The Duchess and the Duke too, the one who died in 1929, I remember him, of course. And yes, they used to come in and seemed to be walked down the church. It seemed quite something, quite an occasion, but they were only there at certain times of the year, in the summer mostly. Mm. But... of course, I remember when I first came, Canon Skeen was there. And then we had the Reverend Philip Gray. He was here sometime. And there was one or two in between them. The Reverend Singh, of course, I remember him very well.
Mm-hmm. Yes, talked to Gerard Sherman, remembered him.
Yes, and there was Canon Farker. And then, of course, latterly, the Reverend Stuart Orme, of course, he was here a long time.
And then there was Margaret Tupper's husband.
Yes, that was at the beginning of the war. Mm. I remember him very well indeed. And, I remember him very well. He was, people thought a lot of him in the village. He was quite a young man then. And, yes, we knew them quite well. And, as I said, latterly there was Reverend Orme, who was here a long time. And I wonder, has anyone mentioned Mr. Puddock, the verger?
No, nobody has. Tell me about Mr. Puddock.
Well, Mr. Puddock, he was quite a character. Now, I can't remember his Christian name, but he also ran the club, the men's club, opposite the church, the working men's club there. And he was a verger and did a lot of things. But he was a great character. We all liked him very much. And I don't think we've had a verger since. But he was elderly. His grandson lives at Shear still.
When you say he was a great character, what did he do?
I was thinking, he used to, when he sat at the back of the church, he always said, and I think the young folk waited for it, he used to say, "Amen," very loudly. Also, my husband, late husband, was best man at a wedding 60 years ago now, this year. And I was there too, you see, and he said, "Who's paying?" And I said, "Well, I suppose Jackie's," I said, "he's the best man." And he went up to Jack and said, 13 sevenpence, penny for the stamp. And I thought that was jolly cheap getting married in 1932, wasn't it, for 13 sevenpence? And he was a dear old boy. We were all very fond of him. And I don't think we've had a verger since. Mm. He was always on duty in the church and... I wonder if there's anyone else who remembers him. Well, there must be some.
Well, nobody's mentioned him. Well, do you remember other characters? That's fascinating.
Well...
what were the other sort of leading lights in the congregation?
Well, I don't know about leading lights. I remember Billy Monk, who used to blow the organ, whatever you called it, He was quite a character. Lots might remember him. He used to be in his little cubbyhole there with the... I suppose that was, of course, before they had electric organ.
So they had to have somebody pumping
them. Oh, yes, there was. I'm sure Billy Monk did that in those far-off days. Mm. And
I've heard quite a lot about the organ. It apparently can produce a lot of noise.
Right from the beginning, I remember when it was put in, we were all horrified at the sound because it seemed colossal. It filled the church after the one we'd had previously. And but I quite like it now. I've got used to it. And but it was loud, very loud.
So it makes a noise which they could hear in heaven.
Oh, yes. It's terrific.
Yes.
But I like it now because I can no longer sing only when they're playing that organ, and then nobody can hear me singing, so I sing with that loud noise. And I did sing in the choir at one time, and my two daughters sang in the choir. But of course, when I first came to Albury, there were a lot of men in the choir, young men, and lots of boys. I think there were about a dozen. And but I think that was general to most village churches then. Girls were rather frowned upon. But there was a very good choir there. And of course, Mr. Rollins, you would have heard about Mr. Horsfell Rollins, the organist that I bet you've had.
Well, only a little bit. Tell me about him too.
Well, there must be somebody much more qualified to talk about him. I'm sure there is. But he put on some very nice musical evenings. We had soloists in from outside, and we formed the chorus, you know, like the Crucifixion and different things of that nature he put on. We sang in the church, and very enjoyable they were. I enjoyed them enormously. And but I don't remember. I know my daughters were both confirmed at the church. There were quite a lot of young women confirmed at the time, and young men too, boys and girls. But it all seems long ago now.
Yeah.
And but I liked Albury Church. I must say, when I first met the church, it seemed too new, but it was, you know, I'm speaking of 65 years ago. It's a bit older now, but I had a job to get used to the newness of it, because I was used to old churches. So I brought up in Ewer's village, where there was a very old church, so that Albury Church seemed quite a new church, but I've got used to it and now I like it.
People have said that, and of course it is a surprise. I found that when I saw it for the first time, because it's brick. And
that's right.
And it's, but it's inside, it's very striking.
Oh, very. Mm. Yes, and very well kept and nice, isn't it?
Mm.
The church itself is really very good, I think.
Has it changed itself in appearance at all? Has anything very much been done to it in the time that you've known it?
Well, for the organ, for one thing, you see, because with the pipes all up the back there and everything. I don't seem to. Of course, the windows over the altar were blown out by the doodlebug in the war.
Do you remember that?
Well, I was living up here, you see. I think the doodlebug fell out in the back of Western Woods at that area. Oh, yes, it blew the windows out over the altar, or blew a lot of the glass out anyway, and the shops in the village and cottages in the village. And, of course, they had new stained glass windows put over the altar after that. But
and I had a very vivid description from Gerard Sherman about them being consecrated and how they put the lights up outside.
Yes,
were you in the congregation?
No, I'm afraid I wasn't. I don't know what happened. I had hoped to go and something, I couldn't go. But I wasn't here. I was away on holiday, sadly, when the Duke of Northumberland's Memorial Chapel was consecrated or dedicated, whatever. And yes, I think the church has altered in a way, and yet in another sense it hasn't, you know. I think a church is a place that, unless drastic alterations take place, you don't seem to notice them. I think the biggest notice was the organ. Of course, there must be some who I know it was altered a long time ago, long, long before my time, but there must be others that, you know, really remember it and knew it years ago.
Well, I'm building up a wonderful little sort of montage of memories. You know, people remember the same incident, and it's fascinating. I should be able to put several of these memories together.
You're bound to get the same bits, I suppose. You do
well,
that.
Yes, but everybody sort of had it from a different angle. You know, which is what's so interesting.
Well, going down to the church, there was a service at the inn. You know, at the end of the war, that was a very moving service. I can't remember anything particularly about it, but I remember going to it, and it was pretty crowded then. And also on the coronation day, there was I went down and took the girls. We went to communion, and the present Queen's coronation day, and the church was full. It was wonderful, really. There was such a lot of people there. It was communion in the morning, and I remember that was a very nice occasion there in the church. But I don't think they get quite the congregations now as they did. But that's pretty general, isn't it?
Yes.
Feel. But those were occasions that I remembered particularly and being there.
Life revolved very much more around the village and especially around the church in those days.
Oh, yes, because we were talking about the choir and the succession of choir boys we remembered that were in the choir. Now, I mean, they're grandfathers now, some of them, but they were there in the choir and small boys in the village. There was, we could call a lot of youngsters who were in the choir boys then.
But I too, as a boy, sang in my local church choir and I rang the bells and so on. And I was talking to Godfrey Gillett about this, and it was such an important sort of rhythm in your life then that you never ever forget it, really.
No.
And it was so it was such a strong element of your whole personality.
Yes, and a strong element in the village. I think what I feel sad about in my old age is the fact that the church doesn't matter so much to quite a lot of people now. It mattered when I was a child, of course. We was revolved around it as children at home. I always kept in touch with the church. I mean, I lived in London for a little while and I still went to church and I didn't push it aside. Somehow it was a part of one's life, but that is no longer, rightly or wrongly, it isn't. I don't know. I'm glad myself that I've got that to lean on. I really am. And I think as one gets older and really old, you need something to lean on. But I think Albury Church, there are nice people there now. Quite a lot of nice, kindly people there. And not as many people, but those that are there are pretty good, I think. They are.
It sounds as if, of all the churches you've known, you've had a special soft spot for Albury.
Oh, yes, because I've known it the longest, you see. I've known it the longest. And as I say, in recent years, I go to Farley Green because I get a lift there, and Albury Church seemed rather a long way away. No, I've always kept up my, interest, apart from everything else, with the church. It's a focal point, I think, for people, you know. And I think a lot of people are missing a lot by not sort of making it a focal point of their lives, in a way. It doesn't have to be an everyday thing, but the church is there. They still use it for weddings and christenings, I suppose, most of them. But otherwise, it's not quite so well used as it was for services.
Well, I'm delighted somebody said that. And it's evoked an enormous number of memories in a lot of people.
Yes.
That's absolutely marvellous, Wynne. Is there anything else in the little sort of tiny little brush strokes that you remember? Because what you've told me has been absolutely fascinating. I wondered, did you walk across the common on spring mornings like
that? I walked through the Warren, down across Aubrey Heath and through the Warren to communion at 8 o'clock in the morning sometimes.
Could you give me a little description of that? You know, just a little, sort of paint a little picture of that.
Well, I lived in Little London then, and so it meant going up right across the common and down through the Warren. I wouldn't do it today, even if I was able, but in those days the Warren was a nice, friendly, pleasant walk. We just thought of it as the Warren, over Aubrey Heath and past Aubrey School and down through the Warren and along the lane to the church. It was a very pleasant walk, especially on a... Well, I only went when it was summer mornings, and there were kind people pretty often who took me then and brought me back. But, yes, it was a... Those pleasant walks, sadly, are fraught with thoughts today that you don't enjoy them quite so much, I don't think, especially older folk.
Yes.
But, yes, it was very pleasant, down through the Warren and along to the church, and quite a lot of... I think quite a few people walked to the church. Well, there weren't the cars, for one thing, there are today. But I used to enjoy that walk. When the children were old enough, they went with me, of course. But then they went to Sunday school. They had Sunday school there. And Susan, my younger daughter, taught at the Sunday school in the church. Well, she was about 14 or 15. They had that. And we had children's services there. The children were very much more involved in the church then, but I suppose with their parents and with the choir and all of it, it's gradually fallen away.
You mentioned the Duchess earlier on. What we read, it was quite an occasion when the front pew was filled the Northumberland family. She was quite a personality, wasn't she?
Well, she was... she was. Indeed, she was, I think. Of course, having worked... for a branch of the family, I did hear a great deal about her and met her through my job quite often. But yes, I think she was a wonderful personality and wonderful to look at, very, very distinguished and lovely to look at, you know.
Yes, what did she look like? I mean, was she tall?
She was tall and had a wonderful way of walking. And she remembered people's names, I believe. There was an old lady, a Miss Brown, who lived in Church Lane. She was born there in one of those cottages. Oh, you know the Catons. Do you know the Catons?
I do, yes.
Well, she lived in that. She was born in that cottage. She died there when she was 96. She was a Brown. And I remember her telling me that Her Grace walked to church latterly, and walked down the lane, and how thrilled she was because Her Grace stopped and spoke to her and called her Miss Brown and knew her, you see. Meant a great deal to her. And I think she was probably a person of great character.
Did the village take pride in having such an important family in their midst?
I think probably in the early years that I lived here, because so many of the villagers worked on the estate, as we always referred to it as, and you see there are very few now. I mean, there was every cottage in Little London, practically every cottage up there, the people worked on the estate in some form or other. Now, of course, they're all privately owned. But yes, I should think she took an interest in Aubrey. I always felt she did. She came, used to be at the flower show, you know, opening the flower show and giving out the prizes at the end in those days. That's a long time ago. But I think a village needs someone like that, you know, to have a point of someone, but... This is not happening in villages anymore, I don't think.
So you need a village squire?
Well, sort of. Yeah. Another wonderful character, I'm sure someone's mentioned her, was Miss Helen Lloyd. She was wonderful. We missed her terribly when she died quite suddenly. She had an interest and she knew everybody and we were very fond of her.
Yes. Do me another little portrait, because I have just heard a little about her, but she was another great personality. Can you do me another little lovely little sketch of her?
What, Miss Helen Lloyd? Mm. Well, yes, she... I remember her very well indeed, and she was the chairman in the beginning of the Friendship Club, and she and Margaret Woods started that between them, Margaret Woods. And... she was very popular there, she knew people, and I think this business of knowing people is such a help, you know, in a village, especially to the old-timers. I mean, one of the saddest things now, there's so many folk I don't know, and they don't know me, which is sad. But on the other hand, yes, Miss Helen Lloyd, she was very, very, she was the captain of the guides at one time. And, friends of mine were in it in those far-off days, and she was very popular in the village because she did so much. She was a great leader in the women's voluntary services during the war. And, Miss Helen Lloyd, we missed her terribly when she went.
And what was she like to look at?
Very... dare I use the word aristocratic? I mean, she had a bearing about her, that sort of bearing, you know what I mean? And very, always very well dressed, and I particularly remember her because we went to the BBC and broadcast to Australia. She was the chairman of the parish council, you see, and she drove us to London in the car, and... she was a great character and did a great deal for the village and was fond of the village.
And what was her background? Where did she, what was
her family's circumstances? She lived at Weston Lodge in Albury. I think she was related to the Brays, you see. Her mother was a Bray. So she was a very old local family. The Brays are at Shear, of course.
And did she have a family?
No, there was... I think there was a brother, I didn't know him. But I knew Mr. and Mrs. Lloyd. And in fact, I think the church windows, aren't they, in memory of him, surely, over the altar when they were renewed. I believe they are to do with Mr. Lloyd. Her father, that was. Yes, she was a great character and very, well, missed by those of us who'd known her a long time. And she had lots of friends, of course. She was a very... very, very busy person during the war. Very busy. The evacuees and all sorts of things. And a little car she used to rip and nip about the village. But I think, I think another thing, we're not talking about the village, I know the church, but there aren't the characters there were in the village, you know, they've died out. And people are more nondescript. Old-timers that were born here, of course, were...
Well, you're not a bad one yourself, I may say.
I wasn't born here.
Oh, well, no.
I'm a newcomer. there doesn't seem to be the characters there were at one time. But I suppose that's natural. Mm. Everything dies away.
I think everything goes so fast these days.
Oh, it does. Mm. I find that the time goes so quickly, although... I don't do a lot now, but time gallops past. Yeah. Mm.
Well, that's absolutely marvellous.
Well, thank you very much. But and I could be terrified of that, but I'm not really.
Well, the Albury History Society will be absolutely thrilled with that.
I talk too much.
No, you talk most colourfully.
Well, when I went to the BBC, is that turned off?